left off. We're discussing the issue of the Prima Gutim, who's right here on the page, also quoted in the Pesach Tshuva on the page, about trade food that you dry out and process and make it edible, and then you make edible again. And then you mix it into your kosher food, or etc. Right, so we saw in the Pesach Tshuva here quoted the first. Let's introduce it. Okay, we saw in the Pesach Tshuva quoted three opinions. The Shach later on, and again we'll start with a little Chazara, but it's Mefur Shach and Siman Kuf Yudal Sukkot and Chaf Aleph, who says that they used to have some sort of dish in those days, or sometimes it used to have little strings of meat from the Goyim, treif meat. Shach says, no problem, because it got dried out. The strings of meat got dried out. Ah, but now it's edible again. It doesn't matter. Now it's not edible again because it's good meat. It got dried out. It's not treif anymore. It's not meat anymore. And then they put it together with some other things. They rehydrated it, but it's still kosher. The Shach is very, very explicit that the Shach is exceedingly explicit that once treif food becomes processed so that it is not edible, it is now kosher forever, even if you make it edible again. That's the Pesach Tshuva, also quotes the same thing from the from the Shoch Shvos Yaakov. From the Shoch Shvos Yaakov, and give me a second. The Vechemu Rishot Shvos Yaakov, and also the Teferis Tzvi in the previous Pesach Tshuva. I was quoting from Chafal, from Chaf, he quotes the Teferis Tzvi about, I think it's carmine, you still have this nowadays. It's a red dye. A lot of red dyes are made from bugs nowadays. So that's the big issue. What about a red dye made from bugs? So how do they make the red dye from bugs? So the Teferis Tzvi says, I think it's called carmine, C-A-R-M-I-N-E. I think they still use it. He says they use it to color whiskey. I don't know what they use it for nowadays. I think candies, actually. Sometimes you have candies that are made with dye that comes from bugs. So the American kosher agencies don't allow it. But it's a big machlokas, and the first Tzvi did allow it. He was like the Shach, the Shvos Yaakov. How do they make this dye out of the bugs? They don't take like good, yummy bugs and mix them in to give color. They chemically process it till it doesn't have any taste anymore, till it's not good for eating anymore. It's just a disgusting thing. And then they mix in a little to give color, so it doesn't taste disgusting anymore. So they only mixed in a tiny bit, so you don't taste it. But it's not really good for eating. So what do we have? Here we have basar that became inedible, and then became edible again, right? Because it got mixed in with good things. And we saw, this when we left off, we had three shitas. Number one was the Shach, and the Shvos Yaakov, and the, we didn't mention last night, the Teferis Tzvi, they say mutter. On the other hand, you have the Prima Gadim and the Chassam Sofer in Simchat and Yud Tes assume the same thing. He tried to come, so he had a very complicated case, which we need to get into. But the Prima Gadim right here, the Prima Gadim and the Chassam Sofer says that nope, it regains its original status, at least that's what the Prima Gadim said. And then we have the Node of Yehuda, who's in the middle, who says it depends. If it was basar kosher, it stays tired. But if it was iser, it regains the iser status. And his basic intuition here is that there's a difference between basar chalav and iser. The main difference being that Isser is an objective piece of Isser. So they say the Isser became inedible, but then it became edible again. So it's still Usser while it's inedible. So it's not Usser to eat Lamaisa, but still is the underlying identity of Isser. If it becomes edible again, it becomes Isser. Busser is not Usser at all. Just, you shouldn't mix it with milk. Why shouldn't you mix it with milk? Because it'll have a certain taste. Okay, but loses that taste. Even if you make it edible again, it still doesn't have that original taste of meat. If it doesn't have that original taste of meat, then it's parif, you're allowed to mix it with milk. Halacha l'maisa, let's just take this down to gelatin. How do they make gelatin? So, once upon a time, they used to make gelatin out of animal bones, right? What is gelatin? We mentioned it gives things a sort of gummy or thick consistency, and it's made of collagen or something like that, some chemical that's in the hard parts of animals. They used to make it out of animal bones. Nowadays, they make it out of pig skins. So, how do they do it? They process it with all kinds of chemicals till it becomes this inedible powder. They tried to get one chemical out of the food. So they take out all the taste and all the good parts of the food, just get out this one chemical. You know, it's a chemical that's like, it's edible, meaning it's not dangerous for you, but you can't actually just eat it. It's disgusting to eat. And then they put a tiny sprinkle of it in foods to make it have that elastic consistency. You know, if they put a little, it becomes a thicker yogurt, a little more, it becomes a little thicker. And they put a lot, you know, it becomes jello, a lot, it becomes a gummy candy. So that's gelatin. They make it out of this treif animals. And they could make it out of kosher animals, but they generally don't. They make it out of treif animals by processing it till it becomes inedible. And then they put it back in your food. It's obviously edible again. So, what's the din of gelatin?
It has no taste. It should be a derech hanor.
The gelatin really has no taste if you would stop eat the gelatin, right? But no one stop eats the gelatin. They put it back in your food, and then it's delicious, right? It's part of a delicious food, right? So it becomes inedible, and then it becomes edible again. They make it into candy, or they make it into marshmallows, or whatever it may be, right? You can't make marshmallows without gelatin. You can't make jello without gelatin.
Even though this particular ingredient has no taste and no hanor, and that should be mutter.
You are getting enough from that.
Correct, but now you are. After all, it makes your food good, right? Here we have a machlokas. I gave you the little article, summarize some of the shitas. What are the shitas when it comes to gelatin? First, let's look at the svaras. What are the svaras when it comes to gelatin? So you might say that gelatin, right, many posts assume that it's the same machlokas as, just to summarize, the shach and the prima gavim. Rav Moshe and many others assume it's the same machlokas as the shach versus the prima gavim here, right? The prima gavim would say it's aser because it now became edible again, and now it's part of your candy or whatever. And the shach would say it's mutter, even if it became edible again, it's no problem because it was inedible in between and it lost its status. However, we pointed out there are some factors that might make it different, right? In that article, which hopefully everyone got a chance to read, it was a pretty quick read, I'm sure, if you didn't look up all the footnotes inside. There are two factors that might be more makel. So same. Maybe it's the same machlokas as the shach and prima gavim. For example, Rav Moshe Feinstein seems pretty clear that it's the same machlokas, right? That's what Moshe assumes. But maybe gelatin is more makel. So that's why it gets complicated for two reasons. Actually, two reasons. One of which is not relevant. What are those two reasons? One. In the old days, because maybe it's more makel this machlokas, because this machlokas started out good meat, then became inedible, then became edible again. But the gelatin in the old days was made out of bones. Bones, we'll see a machlokas there, those who are machmir, that maybe some bones are considered to have a little taste, whatever. But as strictin, and certainly the big bones, are not edible. Everyone knows bones are not edible, right? So if it starts out inedible, maybe that's more makel. This machlokas, it started out as usher. Here, it started out as mutter. Right? Because it started out as bones. But this was in the old days when they made it from bones. Nowadays, the problem is they make it from pig skins. And pig skins are edible. How do you know? Anyone ever go to YU? Yeah, so you go to the bodega across the street, and what do they sell there? Fried pig skins, right? So they're not edible to us for religious reasons. But they sell them to the bodega across the street from YU, so obviously someone eats it, right? Yeah, there are people who live around YU who are not Jewish. They're very nice people, and they eat the pigskins. So that's why I say in the old days, this is a hetter that made it out of bones. But the nowadays, when they make it out of pigskins, this factor is irrelevant. So the Chazon Yecheskel, his main thing was based on it's made out of bones. Right? That was one of his big things. So in the old days, it was made of bones.
which started out mutter. Okay, that's obviously, you can imagine, that's very different. It's very different if it starts out mutter the whole time, it never becomes usher than if it starts out as usher. But that's only the old days. And the Chazan Yecheskel, who's one of the Mekilim, that's Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, a Talmud of Rav Chaim, he was a famous Dayan in London, I believe, in England, I believe in London, and the author of the Chazan Yecheskel, which is a really gewaldic book of Lundus, quotes a lot of sources from Rav Chaim there, Taka. He says mutter because the bones start out mutter and then pashut, everyone agrees it's mutter. Again, that's not going to be as relevant for us nowadays. Another factor which is brought up by the Achiezer, but not really in this way, Ravadia that sits on Yezer, two, which is the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a famous Shita about the musk, right? What's musk? Musk is a, like, it's a perfume which is created by a gland in the musk deer. Name the musk deer because it produces musk. And apparently it was like in the old days, it was like a big deal, you know, very valuable. Still is very valuable, Gevaldik. Okay, the Rambam says that that is one of the ingredients of the Ketores. So everyone asks, you can't, apparently this is a trefa, it's one of the ingredients of the Ketores, and you take it out of the, and it's made from, I think he says made from the blood of the animal somehow. So, the gland like takes the blood and makes it into musk. So they ask, oh, you can't use trade for the Ketores. So there are a gazillion answers. We're not getting into this now. One of the answers, you can use trade. Not important. Rabbeinu Yonah makes a yesod. Rabbeinu Yonah makes a famous yesod called nishtane. Isser shenishtane. You'll see this coming up if you just look around in halachic literature at different times of the year. Kitnio shenishtane is a big machlokes. Maybe you rely on Rabbeinu Yonah for minhag bialma. You know, isser shenishtane says, yeah, it started out as blood. But then it was chemically processed and changed. It wasn't just like cooked or like chopped up or mashed or you added spices. It was mamish, changed chemically into different kind of item. Like the gland breaks down the molecules and makes it into something else. It says, when an isser is mishtan, it's a new thing. It doesn't have its isser anymore. It says, therefore, the Rambam writes that it's made of the blood of an animal, and blood is treif, but nonetheless, it's kosher for the mishtana. Famous shita reni yona isser shenishtana. We generally don't rely on the Shita Rabbeinu Yonah on Isser Shenishtane. However, it's an additional, maybe if there's other reasons we make a plus the Isser Shenishtane, right? One of the things we'll see is that we could go to yeshiva and learn Gemara for many, many years and think that the way we pasken halacha is there's machlokes rishonim, and you pasken one way or you pasken the other way, and that's how you know how to pasken. Okay, that is not the way usually most halacha l'maisa works. The way most halacha l'maisa works is, well, there's a machlokas rishonim here. Psak is not 100% clear. Machlokas rishonim here, psak is not 100% clear. Machlokas here, psak is not 100% clear. L'maisa, when it comes down to real life shaylas that real posts can deal with, it's all a matter of seiraf sveikos or tzadim l'hakel. How many tzadim l'hakel are there? How many reasons to be makel are there? Like, there might be two reasons. I wouldn't be makel just based on this or based on that. But you put them together, you can be makel. So they say, well, I think I'd be makel like the Shach, but I'd be a little nervous about the Prima Gadin. But if you add in the Rabbeinu Yonah and you have two tzadim to be makel, then you can be makel. So an additional reason to be makel is the Shitas Rabbeinu Yonah, which comes from that musk of Isser Shenishtane. And then if you look at the post, they say, is this really Nishtane or not? Meaning, when they make gelatin out of the treif animals, is that as big a shinoi as when the gland makes musk out of blood? Is it a physical process, a chemical process, if you learn that in high school, etc.? Okay, the big deal. But many poskim, such as Rav Avadia Yosef and the Tzitz Eliezer, are mitzarif this idea that because of Isser Shenishtane, maybe that would make it more makel than the case of the Prima Gadim. Because his case wasn't ishtan, it was just dried and then moist and then hydrated.
Would Rabbeinu Yonah would fit into that?
Rabbeinu Yonah has they're talking about when it dries and then it gets moist again. That's not a shinoi. Right? Meaning it's a shinoi, it got bad and good, but it didn't change to a different chemical. Here it changed to a different chemical. Okay. There also, however, Aaron Cutler comes, right? There's one factor, two factor. Says of Aaron Cutler, right? The Rosh Hashiva, founding Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood. He says, nope. He thinks it might be, he thinks it is, more machmir than the Prima Gadim's case for two reasons.
Meaning, even though many poskim say, this is more mekel than the machlokas shachin prima gadim. No, he says more machmer than the machlokas shachin prima gadim. And his reasons are actually decently intuitive. He says, what's the machlokas in the shachin the prima gadim? About trade food. A string of meat got dried and then it got hydrated again and now you can eat it. Is it still trade food? You say, no, the trade left it. Now it's just like some molecules. He says, in this case, it wasn't just stomp something got no good and then became good again. Why did they make it no good here? Right? In all the cases, well, how did something get no good, get dried out? Oh, they just left it. Here, how did this become inedible? How did this become ruined? Because they purposely were trying to produce an important ingredient. Right? Meaning, what do you mean? They ruined it and turned it into some sort of like disgusting, tasteless powder. No. They were actually trying to turn it into a useful ingredient. And here's Rav Kotler's Kiddush, as to the Chavos Das, that we'll see. It says, an ingredient is called roi l'achila, good for eating. Something that's useful for food is called roi l'achila. That's his word. Something that you want to mix into food to help your food, even though it's not edible, is called roi l'achila. And he says, for example, what if you have pepper, a jar of pepper, right? You can tell me that's not roi l'achila because you can't eat it? Of course it's roi l'achila, because you use it for your food. And he brings an example from sourdough, which is overly fermented bread, overly leavened bread. You can't eat it, but you use it to make more bread. And it's a big machlokas, but the many poskim say we consider that to be edible. You can't eat it, but it's useful in food production. Anything useful in food production, at least if you're going to mix it into other foods, that's considered edible. So he says, machlokas shachin prima gadim is dried out meat. Dried out meat you're never going to eat. However, this is inedible because it's meant to be mixed with other things and make them better. Anything which is meant to improve food, that's already called edible. So that's what he says. He says one reason is because it is made inedible only in order to make it more useful for food production or for food, right? Meaning, yes, they make the gelatin inedible, but that's only because they're trying to make it a good ingredient in food. That's not called inedible. That's called, well, sometimes you have to make this little piece inedible so it can be part of something else and make it more edible. But then it basically was never ruined. It was edible the whole time. Because anything that's a kosher food ingredient is considered edible, and you see his intuition. It's not like stomach got ruined and then you somehow manage to mix it into something and make it barely edible again. No, you didn't ruin it. You davka made it into a very valuable, important food ingredient. So that's his. And the second shot, which is similar to this, is what's called achshavei. What does achshavei mean? Achshavei means you're machshiv. You make something important. If I purposely eat something which is not edible, then what am I implying? I purposely eat something inedible. What am I implying? That it is edible. I'm machshiv it. It's chashiv to me. Maybe it's not chashiv to you, but it's chashiv to me. Why would I eat it if it wasn't edible? He says everyone eats the gelatin. Now, I understand they don't eat a spoonful of gelatin. They don't eat a spoonful of gelatin. That would be gross. Meaning, there's certain like medicines where they make you like eat a lot of gelatin, and it's very, very hard. It's exceedingly difficult, even if you would try to do it, because it's so disgusting. But the point is, we all eat it as part of our food. We all eat it gladly as part of our food, not in the case of the shach. The shach, there happened to be some ruined meat stuck in something. But you're not purposely eating it because you appreciate it. Here, we all appreciate it. Again, these are two different factors that come from the same place. Achshavei means, even if you don't want to consider it fit roi l'achila objectively, but since we eat it, we've subjectively made it roi l'achila. Now, most are going to say that's only a drabanan factor, but it doesn't matter. So, lasser achshavei, meaning, since we purposely eat it, unlike any of the things discussed in the achronim I mentioned, since we purposely eat it, we consider it. Lahachshav is to consider. We consider it roi l'achila. So even though it might be objectively not edible, but since we eat it, we consider it roi l'achila, and therefore it should be treif. Okay, that's around Kotler's two things, basically coming to the same intuition.
Gelatin is not like anything else we've been discussing. All the things the Achronim were discussing were disgusting things that no one would ever eat on purpose. Even the case of like the orakeva that was dried out, you're never going to eat it. You might like put things in it, but you're never going to eat it. And the case of the strings of meat that were stuck in something, you're never going to eat. Over here, it's things that they manufacture for eating on purpose, factor one, and that we do eat on purpose, factor two. So maybe that's much more chumra, and it's also that's where Aaron Cutler was strongly against the gelatin. What? We'll get there in a second. All right, like gelatin pills might be more makel. Correct, we'll get there in a second.
I don't really understand how the Chazon Yechezkel is the reason to be matir these days.
It's not. He's only for the old days. Chazon Yechezkel is only matir in the old days.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't sound like he'd be matir nowadays. Okay, halacha l'maisa, where does all this end up? It ends up with, coincidentally for sure, a strong geographical distinction. Right, Rav Aaron Cutler was a very influential posik in the old days in America. I don't mean nowadays. In the old days, there weren't so many big poskim in America, and there were a lot of chachamim. But I'm just saying, in terms of you know how many people asked them questions, etc. There were a lot of big European talmid chachamim, you know, 70 years ago in America, but they weren't very influential. Rav Aaron Cutler was one of those influential poskim. Of course, who is a much more influential posik in America than Rav Aaron Cutler? Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Aaron Cutler both aser gelatin. They both said gelatin was usher.
Rav
Moshe, he seems to say, he makes it sound like just the machlokas shakmi, we got him, we're usher.
Did Rav Henkin have a view on it?
They do quote here that Rav Henkin was makel on it, Taka, right? I think he quotes, Rabbi Jachter quotes in this article, he quotes Rav Henkin, even though, the Rav Henkin is not on my computer. I didn't look him up inside, but he quotes Rav Henkin, right? On page, someplace here. Yeah, on page 75. He said, however, he was only makel if it was bones. Okay, so he was like, really like the Chazon Yechezkel sounds like makel and bones. So in the old days, fine, but how about nowadays? So basically, you have two opinions. Interestingly, Lemaisa, Rav Moshe, and Rav Cutler say Usser. They say Usser. However, they both say something interesting. They say usser if it comes from treif. But if it comes from kosher animals, I don't mean cows, I mean shechted cows, right? Like totally kosher, then it's parif. Then it's parif. Like the Nud Behuda says, oh, if it's treif, it's going to stay treif because treif has a fundamental identity of treif in the chafza. But basar l'chala is only if it still has the tam of meat, it shouldn't mix it with milk. Here, it certainly doesn't have it taste like meat anymore. No one's going to say gel that tastes like meat. It might be a thing. You know, it might be a foodstuff, but it's hard to say that it tastes like meat. And therefore, they're both makel, and pretty much everyone is makel. The mainstream kashrus organizations, they have one factory in the world that actually makes, they didn't used to, that makes gelatin out of kosher, glock kosher shefted cows. And that gets an OU pariv and whatever else pariv, I think it's in England, whatever it is. So they say, usser, but if it's from kosher animal, it's parif. Okay, and that's based on this far in the Nobi Huda. The Nobi Huda is much more complicated. He has tremendous confusion, Mishidus Yachid there that we're not getting into now, maybe later. Even though the Prima Gadim sounds like he was Machber even by Basar B'Chalav, but no one follows that. Chassam Sofer, really, it's not fair for me to put him there. He didn't say anything about Basar B'Chalav. He was only talking about treif. Pashtas, almost all posts agree that if it starts out as a kosher animal, it will become parif. Because basar b'chalav is only if it really keeps the taste of meat. It doesn't keep the taste of meat. Remember, meat wasn't usser. It just was something you're not supposed to be mixed with milk. You're not supposed to make a meat and milk taste. Okay, so it doesn't taste like meat anymore. It's fine. However, we saw many cases already, and we'll see many more, where once the taste becomes weak, it's not fleshy anymore. Like not by not. But they say if it's treif, it's usser. However, many posts were matur. The main matur was the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Ozer. Who is Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski? Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, the Shut Achiezer, was the Godel Ador in Europe before the war, which is saying a lot. Okay, I don't know, maybe. At least that's, some will say, no, my Rebbe's grandfather was the Godel Ador in Europe. I don't know, but most people considered him the Godel Ador in Europe before the war. Here's the Rav of Vilna before the war, and Vilna was certainly from a yeshivish perspective. was the Yerushalayim of Europe. The sort of high elder said mutter. He said mutter. He was Machria Lehakel, and he was the Gadol Ador of Europe. So many people in Europe were Mekel. Not all. I mean, there was a million poskim in Europe. A lot of Tamiachim in Europe. And in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of poskim were also Mekel on this. And for example, I'm not going to count the Chazon Yecheskel in Europe, because he was Mekel on the bones. He wasn't necessarily talking about our modern day Gelton. He was talking about his Gelton. But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was Mekel. The Har Tzvi, he was the Rav Yerushalayim, very influential posek here, was also Mekel on this. The Tzitz Eliezer leaned towards being Mekel. He didn't paskin Mefurish, but he definitely leaned towards being Mekel. The Ron Vadya also leaned towards being Mekel. So many poskim in Eretz Yisrael. Were Mekel on the issue of Jelton. Yes, Shlomo.
We said that if there's no longer a taste of meat, it's no longer considered bas. So that's even according to the shita of having it stuck between your teeth.
Yes, meaning the sheet of stuff between your teeth generally assumes that after 6 hours it loses its taste of meat and it's pareth.
So,
although there could be other ways of explaining that. Okay, the Achirs and the Har Tzvi and others say mutter.
Is there an akshavay on
give me
the
a
ingredient?
Is there an actually an ingredient? Good question. That is debated by some of these makoros. Specifically, the Rav Aaron Kotler said it's akshavay, you're eating it on purpose. And say back to him, both Rav Chaim Ozer and the Har Tzvi, that's not achshavei. It's only achshavei if, like, you eat a big piece of it. If you just put a little in to give it consistency, that's not achshavei. So that is a big machlok, because he says, achshavei, you're eating on purpose, you obviously think it's good. The other post can say back to Ron Cutler, no, you don't think it's good to eat. It's just like a chemical you're putting in for consistency. So you're right, that's a big machlok. Halacha lemaisa, in America, almost everyone is machbar on this, because the American post were machbar on this. In Eretz Yisrael, the non-Mahadrin Hashgachos were always Mekel on this, because the Achiezer was the Gadol Ador in Europe. And the Israelis came from Europe. They didn't come from America, right? The people of nowadays are all from America, probably more than from Europe, because there aren't so many Jews in Europe anyway. But, you know, who founded Israeli society? Not people who made Aliyah from America. People who came from Europe, and Achiezer was the Gadol Ador, and many of the Israeli poskim were Mekel. The Har Tzvi was Mekel very clearly. Rav Avadya leaned towards being Mekel. Tzitz Eliezer leaned towards being Mekel. So therefore, the non-Mahadran Hashgachas here were always Mekel on it, and the Mahadran Hashgachas were Machmir, because the Mahadran Hashgachas is Machmir if it's a big Machlokas. You know, if it's a serious Machlokas, the whole point of Mahadran Hashgacha is that if it's a serious Machlokas, not just like there's a weird sheet to somewhere, then they're Machmir. That's what makes them Mahadran. So in Eretz Yisrael, Mahadran Hashgachas are like American Hashgachas, they're always Machmir on gelatin. However, non-Mahadran Hashgachas are not necessarily Machmir on gelatin. In the last 20 years, even the non-Mahadran Hashgachas started to be more Machmir gelatin also, because I guess there was some desire on the part of the Tzibur to be more Machmir, and just they started having more options. Like, for example, they produced fish gelatin that was better quality from kosher fish. And it's easier to produce from kosher fish, you don't have to chef them, right? That was better quality that could be used for some products instead of meat gelatin. It's not quite as good, but it's close. They developed new food technology to avoid the need for gelatin and yogurts and such at all. They can make yogurts now without gelatin. They can make ice cream without gelatin. And they can even make marshmallows and gummy candy with fish gelatin. And there are factories that sell kosher meat gelatin, although those are very expensive. So generally the non-Mahadrim won't want to buy that, because that'll raise the price. But they can get fish gelatin cheap, or for things that aren't so hard, like ice cream, which is hard because it's frozen. But melts in room temperature, or yogurt, which is not so hard, they can already do it without gelatin legamre. So there's still some products, like if you buy non-Mahadran jello, it'll probably still have controversial gelatin. But a lot of products nowadays, even non-Mahadran, do not have gelatin anymore. I'm pretty sure that, don't take my word for it, I don't think any of the yogurts have gelatin anymore. I know a neighbor of mine is the Rabbi Tznuva, and he says he removed gelatin from all Tznuva yogurts and similar products. And I'm pretty sure Strauss also doesn't have them, although check the ingredients.
At one point
all the yogurts in Israel, all 900 yogurts in Israel had gelatin when I was Shana Aleph. And now I don't think any of them do. Check the ingredients, but I don't think any of them do. And all the marshmallows that were non-mahadrid. When I was on Aleph, almost everything was non-mahadrid also. There's a lot less mahadrid things. All the marshmallows had controversial gelatin. Now, I went to the store the other day. I checked the non-mahadrid marshmallows were made with fish gelatin. Okay, why were they not mahadrid? I don't know. But maybe there's some other reason they were not mahadrid. Maybe they had a dinosaur in the package. I don't know. But
everything's not mahadrid. That's the reason why it's not mahadrid.
Generally, because the companies are savvy enough that they might as well make something mahadrid if they can. You know, unless the reason is just like they have other non-mahadrid products and just it's not worth like making, you know, a contract. But generally, anything that's not mahadrid has a reason it's not mahadrid. Might be a good reason. Might be a halachically strong reason or a halachically weak reason. You know, maybe it's because they really like some big kula, or maybe it's because they don't keep some crazy chumrah. But generally, there's a reason. Yeah, generally, everyone's mahadrid if they can be, at least in factories. Because, like, why not? Restaurants, some restaurants might not be mahadrin just because they don't want. Restaurants are a different story. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about products in factories. In factories, it's very easy to be mahadrin if you want, right? Meaning, it's a factory. You know, it's things are very efficient there. It's not like you have to pay a full-time salary to a mashgiach in a factory. No, factories are efficient. They're computerized. It's very easy to get mahadrin stuff in a factory if you want. So anything from a factory that's not mahadrin has a reason it's not mahadrin. Might be a reason I care about or I don't care about in my personal halachic opinion. But it has a reason. Because every company knows you want it to be mahadrin if you can. If you can have it be mahadrin just by writing a check for a few hundred dollars a month to the Eidah Haredis, then you will. Okay. Anyway, but even the non-mahadrid marshmallows are fish gelatin nowadays. So nowadays, there's much less than the controversial gelatin in Israel. I checked my supermarket once. The jello that's not mahadrin is still controversial gelatin. But other things are not. Anyway, it's a big machlokes. Okay, the minig of Americans and the minig of the mahadrin in Eretz Yisrael, and most of the B'nai Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, is to be machmer gelatin. But the, the Gadol Hador before the war, the Achiezer was Mekel and gelatin, so certainly those who are Mekel have big poskim, but the minig in our circles is generally to be machmer.
Would Sfarim have an issue with the fish gelatin?
And that's a great question, meaning if you mix it with milk,
yeah.
Right? Or with meat, for that matter, right? Even Ashkenazim would mix it with meat. I think someone told me once that no, once it's processed into gelatin, they're not worried about sakana.
But it's considered part of them for a fish gelatin, also not be considered part of the fish.
Right, unless you say chamir sakanta miyisura, but on the other hand, it's not so pasha to that. Sometimes we say chamir sakanta miyisura when it's a sakana that we understand based on science. When it's a sakana that's a masura that we don't understand, we often say im chavo el chidusho, right? We won't extend it beyond where it was said. Okay, halacha lemaisa, just the end of this, is very relevant, because what could come up for everyone? So fine, let's say we're all, we're all machmirim and whatever, so when we go, we buy mahadrid products or marshmallows or whatever, it's really not such a big deal. You gotta look at your gummy candies, but I don't know, I haven't checked every single non-mahadrid gummy candy, but even I went to the shuk once, I looked at a store, all the gummy candies were made with fish gelatin.
What's it called?
Gummy candies? Gelatin. Gimel Chokchek Lamed Teshgud Nut. Not to use the glue. There's no Hebrew word for it. It's called gel.
Okay.
Some of the Poles can they do like the Yiddish way. Dalit, Zion, whatever. But in modern Hebrew, it's Gimel Chokchek Lamed Teshgud Nut. Gelatin. Again, not to be confused with all the Americans come and they confuse it with gluten. No, they're two different words. Anyway, just one thing. How about gel caps? A lot of medicines nowadays have gel caps or gel tabs. What's the point? Gelatin. What does gelatin do? It gives gummy consistency. It also makes things slippery. Like gelatin is like, it's like a Vaseline. Maybe it's exactly the same thing. I'm sure it's not exactly the same thing because they don't put Vaseline in my food. But it makes things slippery. So gelatin is, I guess it must be oil or something. I'm not a chemist. All I know is it makes things slippery. Gelatin, besides being used as a food ingredient, makes things slippery. And it makes things slippery. And it's not harmful to eat. Right? So let's say I want to make something slippery. I want to give you a pill or a capsule, and it would slip down your throat, so it won't get stuck in your throat. Right? If it gets stuck in your throat, it'll be uncomfortable, and you won't buy it again. Actually, it could be dangerous. People could choke on pills if they have big pills and get stuck in their throat. It could be dangerous. So they want to make them very slippery. But what are they going to put? They're not going to put WD-40 on the pills because that's not safe to eat. They want anything that makes things slippery. That's a lubricant, makes things slippery. That's safe to eat. Gelatin. Gelatin makes things slippery and it's safe to eat because it's an ingredient. So all the companies that make medicines, not the little pills, but the big capsules and the big pills, they sent some gel caps, gel tabs. Gel caps are just capsules with gelatin smeared on the outside, and gel tablets are tablets with gelatin smeared on the outside. They all put gel on the outside just to make it slip down your throat, not for any taste, to make it slip down your throat so you won't choke. And they use gelatin as opposed to Vaseline, because gelatin is safe for eating because, you know, it's produced as a food ingredient, so they don't have to worry that it might be, you know, poisonous or, you know, unhealthy to eat. But it's not because it tastes good. It's just to make it slip down your throat. So what about these? There's a big shiloh, because there's a lot of medicines that come like this. Some of them say in big letters. Some of them don't say in big letters.
The outside capsule has taste?
No, no taste at all. They just put tasteless gelatin to make it slide down your throat so you won't choke. So is that a problem? So here is where Roy Jack just said in the end, he asked Rav Schechter about this, and I think he said Rav Schechter quoted the Rav about this, right? That the Rav Schechter said that the Rav said it's mutter to use a gel cap. And he points out the gel caps are a more makel than the regular shiloh gelatin for two reasons. Number one, you don't have a shash of achshve. Right? No one is eating this as a food, saying, oh, it's good to eat. The only reason you have the gelatin is to make it slide so we won't choke. That's clearly not achshve. Right? Achshve means, like, we want to eat it because we like how it tastes, like a gummy candy or a marshmallow. Here, there's no achshve, right? All the poskim, there's one funny sheet of jachid. Poskim say, if you eat something for medicine, then you're not going to say achshve, oh, you're really considering it good to eat. You're not considering it good to eat. You're just like, you need to eat this weird thing to cure yourself. So obviously, if I eat a Tylenol, I don't think Tylenol is good to eat. That's ridiculous. It's disgusting to eat, but I'm swallowing it anyway because I want the drug. So here, I don't think gelatin's good to eat. I'm just swallowing gelatin anyway, so the medicine doesn't get stuck in my throat. So it doesn't have a factor of achshve. And the other thing is that, I'll be simple pshat, this is considered eating something shelo kederech achil or shelo kederech hana. This is an abnormal way of eating it. If I have a marshmallow with gelatin, that's the normal way to eat things, right? If I have a gummy candy with gelatin, that's the normal way. If in the old days I had a yogurt with gelatin, that's the normal way. But if I take a gel cap or gel tab, that's not a normal way of eating, right? That's called achila shalokadarka. There's also machlokas. I'm saying mainstream opinion. That's an unusual way to eat, an abnormal way to eat. We'll get to it. Is mutter many circumstances. So basically, if you're talking about gel caps or gel caps or tabs, right? I don't think there's any difference between them. So the Sdadim Lahakel are, number one, the Mekilim on all gelatin. Number two, there's no Achshave. So maybe even someone who is Machmir might have been Makel if there's no Achshave. I'm not sure, because I think Ron Cutler would have been Machmir anyway. But theoretically, and most importantly, Achila shelo kederech, right?
You don't have number one. Maybe that's how you don't have number one either. Ron Cutler's first Sad Lahachmir.
No, because his first, correct. Even if it is cockatrice. Meaning, this thing, maybe all gelatin's not treif. Or maybe if all gelatin is treif, because you're machshavit, this gelatin's not treif. Or maybe even if it is treif, it's mutter. Because achila shelo kederech is mutter. Now we have a big achlo, because achila shelo kederech is mutter. Is it only mutter if you're sick? What if you're a little sick? But it certainly brings it down to a drabanan. And it might be mutter even if you're a little sick. There's a Rosh Lomazama like that we'll get to. So, halacha l'maitz, there's many tzad in l'hakel for a gel cap. What is he passing there in the name of Rav Schechter? He passed there in the name of Rav Schechter that it's mutter. The Rav said it was mutter. But, which, you know, a lot of people are machmer even to eat delicious gummy candies and marshmallows, etc. So here, where we're eating something in an unusual way that has no taste, so it makes sense being a stabber to be makel. Especially since generally when people take medicine, they're at least a little sick. Even if they're not mamash achola, they have a meichosh. They have a little bit of not feeling well. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says it could be when there's a little bit not feeling well, you're allowed to eat even a piece of ham in a shelo kedarka way. Certainly this. Halacha l'maisi says, mutter, if you have the choice, it's better to get without gelatin. So I always go to the pharmacy. I buy there's always an option for buying without gelatin. You know, because usually, like, when you're getting something like someone's really sick, chas v'shalom, and, like, they're in danger and they need some special drug, those don't have gelatin. The ones that have gelatins are generally the ones, you know, over the counter, like in the ShopRite, like the Tylenol and stuff. So those, you can usually find alternative without gelatin. So he quotes from a Schefter there. That's what I do. If you can find one without gelatin, buy without gelatin. But Lemaisa, we can be makel on this because, really, there are many people, great poskim are makel even on good gelatin, eaten the normal way. Here, but it doesn't have taste and it's eaten in an abnormal way, then I think you can feel comfortable being makel, at least if you need to. But if you can avoid the issue, avoid the issue. So in my house, we don't have any gel caps or gel tabs. I just buy a different option. But, you know, if you don't have a different option, then you can be makel. Okay, that's the bottom line.
Everyone agrees that Chilish look in there?
So, one of the things we'll see in Halach is that everyone doesn't agree about anything. But everyone agrees that if you eat something in an unusual way, it's at least mutter if you're sick. And it's at least not in a Siddharaisa. It's controversial. What if you have a headache? Is that sick enough? And it's controversial whether swallowing a pill is considered achilas shelo kedarka or not. No, maybe that is kedarka. Because after all, if you swallow matzah, that's considered achilas kedarka. But most of them say, yeah, if you swallow matzah, that's achilas kedarka because it's a delicious food. So some people eat it quicker, some people eat it slower. Then you can't draw the line. But if you swallow something that is hard and disgusting, that's achilas shelo kedarka. The gelatin is also disgusting on this. It makes it slippery. It's disgusting. So lemaisa, vast majority of poskim say this is achilas shelo kedarka.
The fact that it's medicine doesn't make it kedarka? We don't say that?
No, I don't think so. There's a Rambam that says that if you burn a treif bug or something and then you eat it, that is for medicine, that's mutter because maybe for a different reason. Okay, we'll come back to it. Okay, so much for gelatin. Now, I think we're ready. So, I mean, this is a very, very big machlokas. Kayadua, and the truth is, look, the shach is on the lechora on the side of the mekilim, although Ryan Cutler would say not. You know, the mekilim have a lot to rely on. Okay, but I think most people in our circles don't eat real gelatin. But gel caps, we make them. Okay, let's continue to Se'if Yud Aleph then. We have one more Se'if, and then we finish our first simon. Very exciting. Once we finish our first simon, the second will be much quicker. But not necessarily because we're experienced. Just because it's much shorter and easier. The Se'if Yud Aleph. This is called Dover HaMa'amid. What is Dover HaMa'amid? Dover HaMa'amid is, classic Dover HaMa'amid is at least an enzyme. Dover HaMa'amid is an enzyme. I'll mention one other thing. Let's review how you make cheese. You use rennet, right? Rennet's an enzyme. How do they make rennet? Nowadays they make it synthetically. But in the old days, and even in the days of the Rishon, the days of Chazal, there were some ways of making it vegetarian, although it was, you know, much harder. But the Chazal recognized vegetarian sources of vegetarian, not ways of doing rennet. Okay, vegetarian ways of at least making some cheeses. The Rishon had vegetarian ways of at least making some cheeses. Nowadays, we have synthetic ways of making rennet. But in the old days, rennet came from, where did it come from? The stomach of a calf. Either the meat of the stomach lining, or from the curdling milk, the half-digested milk, or 3/4 or 1/4 or whatever, inside the stomach lining. And we saw this is a problem, right? If you use the meat of a stomach lining, you drop a piece in your milk to make it curdle into cheese, that's mixing meat and milk. And if you use the meat of a stomach lining of a treif cow, that's mixing treif and milk. And if you use the milk inside the stomach, that's fine if you took it out right away. But if you first soaked or salted it inside the stomach, then it could get the taste of meat and then become basar b'cholot and be a problem. That's what we learned about in Se'if Yud. So now let us see a fundamental problem. The Gemara says, why did they asur goyish cheese? We know, even to this very day, we asur goyish cheese. I mentioned, okay, we won't answer the scandalous things I mentioned. Why did they asur goyish cheese? There were many opinions. The most mainstream opinion that most Rishonim Paskin like is Mipnei Shemamidin Osaba or Kevas Nevela. Because they would use Mamidin, they would use the rennet from Or Kevas, the skin of the stomach. It doesn't mean skin, it just means the stomach lining. They want to be clear, not the stuff inside, the actual stomach. So they would use the rennet from the stomach lining of Nevela. Right? That's why they assered Treif cheese, Goyish cheese. because they would make a basra chalav. They would use the stomach lining of the stomach of a nevela, a piece of nevela meat, as the enzyme. Now, what's the deal that a lot of Rishonim... So what did all the Rishonim ask? Why are we worried because they use the stomach of a nevela? They should have just said... What should they have just said? They use the stomach... Stan, because it's basar b'chalav. Why are we worried about nevela and not basar b'chalav? And here is a famous machlokas Rishonim. Should we make a diuk or should we not make a diuk? Should we make a diuk? What's the lama asru gvinos hagoyim mipnei shema'amidin osa b'or kevas, or kevas doesn't mean the skin of the stomach. It means the actual meat of the stomach, right? The outside of the stomach, meaning the meat part, the actual stomach, nevela. So should we make a diuk? Nevela, yes, but kosher meat, no. Or should we not make a diuk? So this is a fundamental machlokes. Says Rabbeinu Tam, who's in the Beis Yosef, in the Rosh Mishans, who's not in the Beis Yosef, they say no diuk. Nevela and shchuta are equal. There's no diuk. Nevela and shchuta are the same. Makes no difference whether they would use treif meat or kosher meat. Either way, it would be a problem with basar b'chalav. So why did they say treif meat? So it could just be because they're goyim, so they happen to use treif meat. Or there are many other explanations given by Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rambam and the Rimigash and Rov Rishonim, I guess the Rimigash should come first, right? He was the Rambam's father's Rebbe. The Rimigash and the Rambam and the Rashba and other Rishonim say no. They make a diuk. What's the diuk? Mamid b'nevela is aser, but mamid b'shchuta is mutter. I don't mean it's mutter to do, I mean it's mutter b'dievet. Why? After all, what's the difference? If your mom with nevela, it's a tarobis of nevela, a mixture of nevela. And if your mom is with meat, it's basar b'chalav. So what's the difference? But you hear the diuk. It's a reasonable diuk, right? After all, the Gemara should be in Dykin's words. What's the problem? They use nevela meat as the enzyme. It sounds like it's the only problem is the nevela meat. But kosher meat would be okay to be of it. So why? So they say, because there's a rule. The rule is, and they're mechadish a rule here, the rule is that davar hamamid eino batel, even if it's less than 1/60th. There's a rule. There are normally, what's the rule of bittel, right? We haven't gotten to this yet. But we all know the rule of bittel b'shishim, right? If you mix kosher and treif for meat and milk, if it's less than 1/60th, it's mutter, because then it's too small to be tasteable. If it's more than 1/60th, it's usher, because then it's tasteable. Right? If milk accidentally falls in my chulent, if it's less than 1/60th, mutter. If it's more than 1/60th, fine. Right? If meat accidentally falls in my hot chocolate, if it's less than 1/60th, mutter. More than 1/60th, fine. Right? If ham accidentally falls in my soup, less than 1/60th, mutter. More than 1/60th, usher. You got the point. So, but there's some things are not bottled even less than 1/60th. One of them is Davar HaMamid. It doesn't say this anywhere in Shas. But says, and what's the logic? There's a whole lot of lumbus, but what's the common sense logic? Why would a Davar HaMamid not be bottled even if it's less than 1/60th?
It's creating the whole...
Yeah, because like normally something's less than 1/60th, so it's has no effect. It's insignificant, right? Think about it. 1% milk falls into my cholent. It's the same cholent it always was. Milk doesn't do anything. That's why it's bottled, because it didn't do anything. 2% milk in my cholent, it would already start tasting creamy and rich. 1% of my cholent doesn't do anything. Okay, but 0.01% enzyme in my milk does a lot. It turns it into cheese. It's mamid. And therefore, since it does so much, it is not batel. Davar hamamid ain't no batel. That is the rule which the Rishonim are mechadish here.
I thought you did Tam Davka.
So here there's a big hakir in the Achronim. What's the principle of Davar HaMamid in a bottle? Some say, because it counts as tam. The Hamada counts as tam. It's just that it's a tam that you have in less than a 60th. When you have a tam in less than a 60th, it's not bottle. I'll give you a proof. Let's say I put treif pepper in my soup. I put 0.1% treif pepper in my soup. Can I taste it?
Yes.
Yeah, I certainly can. So it's treif. Oh, it's less than a 60th. It doesn't matter. On my side, it has an effect. So maybe it's like Tom. Others say it's not like Tom, but since it has an effect, it's still not. You can't bring up vatal means doesn't exist. How can you say it's not there if it has an effect? Others are more machmer, they say no. Something that's mamed is the main ingredient. After all, it gave it the whole structure. So therefore, how can you say it's not there? But lamaisa, since we're not going to get into that lumdus now.
You can say gelatin also.
What?
In theory, you can say that also.
Give me a second. By the way, back to the gelatin shayla. Anyone know how much gelatin they put in the gummy candies? More or less than a 60th. Less. They always put less than a 60th because it's a very powerful chemical. So what's the problem anyway if it's less than a 60th? The answer is because the gelatin is davar hamamid. And davar hamamid is not batel because, what do you mean? It gave it the whole consistency. Right? So that's what the Har Tzvi says. Gelatin is davar hamamid, even though it's not as powerful as an enzyme, because an enzyme mamish changes the chemicals. This is just a binder. But nonetheless, that's not batel. It's considered davar hamamid.
Could that be another sniffle hakel?
And that's another sniffle hakel on gelatin. If it's less than a 60th, then... Not everyone agrees, and even those who agree assume it's only a din d'rabbanan, davar hamamid in a batel. At least, I shouldn't say. Most folks assume it's only d'rabbanan. That would be a big sniffle hakel. Davar hamamid in a batel. Now, however, what's the chiluk? When is a davar hamamid not batel? If it's a davar iser hamamid, it's not batel. Davar iser hamamid is not batel, right? But if it is intrinsically usher. But basar hamamid is batel in chalav. And that's how to justify this diuk. Why were they only worried about treif meat as an enzyme and not about any meat as an enzyme? Because treif is not batel if it's davar hamamid. But meat is batel if it's davar hamamid. Why? The logic is actually quite compelling. Treif is treif. If it's not batel, it's usher, right? Treif is treif. If you can ignore it, then it's mutter. But you can't ignore it because you'll see what it did, right? It's very apparent. It's very significant. Therefore, it's usher. Meat is an usher. What's usher? Mixing meat and milk in a way of derech bishul usher torah, in the way of bishul. The way of bishul is not the ramah. The way of bishul is to put in normal ingredients and mix their tastes, right? And therefore, davar hamamid, basar hamamid is batel and chalav because Torah only forbade mixing basar and chalav in the normal derech bishul. And even though midrabanan, of course, the machmir is not derech bishul, right? What if I put cold meat and cold milk together? That's also drabana. What if I salt meat and milk? That's also drabana. But that's all because the amount of meat and milk that I could cook in the normal way of cooking. Right? The normal way of cooking means not you have a chemical that gives a consistency. The normal way of cooking is you mix two things and you taste the two ingredients, like when you normally mix ingredients. So midaraisa, if you have two normal ingredients and you cook them in treif, meat and milk. Midrabana, if you have two normal ingredients and you mix them without cooking in treif. But that's because you have two normal ingredients, each of which is large enough to be a regular ingredient in the regular way of bishul. But over here, if you have less than a 60th basar, that's being an enzyme, you have 0.1% basar, 1/1000th basar being an enzyme for chalav. That's not derech bishul. It's not even similar to derech bishul. Right? You can't cook 0.1% meat with milk and create anything useful. You'll create milk, but that's it. What?
Is this kavush?
Yeah, it's kavush. It's kavush, but since it's less than a 60th, there's no issur d'oraisa and there's no issur d'rabbanan.
I mean, I'm not found with the interplay between their official and whether it's batel. Something's not batel.
So the answer is kaka, the meat's not batel. But we don't care. You're right, the meat's not batel. You have 1/1000th meat. That's the enzyme of your milk. And it's not batel. There's still 1/1000th meat here. But it's still mutter. Who says usher to have meat in your milk? It's only usher to have meat in your milk in the way of derech bishul, or in a way that's similar to derech bishul. That's the point. It's not batel, it still exists. So if it's treif and it still exists, then it's treif. Nothing to talk about. But if it's meat and it still exists, so it's meat. Shkarif, meat exists, and milk exists. If meat exists and milk exists, that's not usher. It's only usher to have a mixture of meat and milk in the way that the Torah ushered and the Rabbanan ushered. And they only ushered the normal taste of meat and milk, the amount that could be tasted. they didn't aser enzymes. That's the principle. Tak, it's not batel. Oh, so my, you're right. I wrote shalob adiktuk. I wrote shalob alumdus, right? Is, it's not that it's batel and chalav, right? Because really, it's not batel. It still exists. It just doesn't hurt, right? Okay, this is, doesn't matter. Practically, this is a good way to write it, but I think the lumdus is that, even if it's not batel, who cares? So you're right, it's not batel. Meat still exists. But who cares? It doesn't hurt me. I have meat in my milk. Having meat in my milk is not a problem. It's only a problem to mix meat and milk in a certain way that's forbidden. What way is forbidden? Midoraisa, only cooking it on a fire with enough to be tasted of both ingredients. I mean, you're upon any mixture where you can taste both ingredients. But since you can't taste both ingredients, then it is mutter. This is one of the many examples where basa b'chalav is more mekel than treif. The simple reason that treif is treif. Unless you can rule it out of existence, it's still treif. Meat and milk is only usher if they combine in a way that's considered an usher combination of meat and milk. But let's say it has a weak taste, let's say it doesn't have a proper taste, then it's not an usher combination of meat and milk. So we have many cases, we'll see, we'll make a list one day, of all the cases where if you mix treif, it's still treif. But if you mix meat and milk, it's kosher. And this is one of them. According to the Rimi Gash and the Rambam. So saying the Rimi Gash and the Rambam, Dover HaMamed, Dover Isser HaMamed is not batel, but Basel HaCholov, there's no problem with Mamed. Again, I'm not saying L'Chachila you could do this. L'Chachila, you should never mix meat and milk. They're talking about B'dievet. Now, in the time the Rosh Hashanahs don't agree.
According to this opinion, you can make
no, only B'dievet.
Kosher cheese in kosher kitchens?
No, only B'dievet. Only B'dievet. Only B'dievet. Only B'dievet. Okay. Now, according to the time of the Rosh Hashanahs, they disagree with this lumdus. There's no difference between bas b'chalav and treif. But, what, yeah?
I just don't understand. If there's actually a rule, then why is it only b'dievet?
Because it's like this. Let's say you would put in the stomach more than a 60th of milk, which is not the normal way people make cheese, but you could. Then it would be treif, right? Because it's more than a 60th of meat. Whenever, if you put in more than a 60th, it would be usher. Did he have it? Less than a 60th is usher drabbanon. That's called bittul isur l'chachila. Right? You're never, anything which, if it was a large amount, would be treif. L'chachila, you're not allowed to put in a small amount.
Because we're scared that you're going to.
According to many poskim, because we're scared, yes. And in this case, let's say, because we're scared that it might, you might make a mistake. Okay, now, agav, Rav Natan Rosh Hashanah say there's no difference between basa b'chalav and treif. But does that mean they're machmer on both or mekel on both? So this is the difference between Tam and the Rosh Hashanahs. It says, Rabbeinu Tam, there's no such iser as Dover Hamamid, both Nevela and Shchuta are bottled with Shishim. Basically, Rabbeinu Tam is a big mekel in cheese. That's why in the old days, they had a lot of cheese controversies. So a lot of people started to bring in a time, was a few different stuff in Lahakel, that, well, you know what, even if they use treif meat, it's batel b'shishim. He knows there were never, there's no such thing as Dover Mamed. Dover Mamed is batel. Okay, and they were only worried if it was more than the 60th. The Rosh Mishans holds the opposite. Says the Rosh Mishans, he says, nope, Dover Hamamed is aser b'mashehu, right? Even in the smallest amount. In both Nevela and Shchuta. So they have two radically opposite shitas. He said, nope, Dover Mamed is also Nevela, and Dover Mamed is also in Basar B'chalav, against the lumdus of the Rambam. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Dover Mamed is mutter at both. As long as it's less than a 60th, it's mutter. So we have three shitas. Rabbeinu Tam says you use enzyme, it's batel b'shishim, which means the normal way you make cheese, it's always mutter b'dievet. The Rosh Hashanah say use any enzyme, and it's usher even in the smallest amount, even 1/100,000th. So any, whether it's kosher meat or treif meat, it's a problem. You have to use a pyrrhic enzyme or a milchic enzyme. And the Rimi Gash and the Rambam say in between, use a treif enzyme, it's usher b'mashim, even 1 in a million. But use a kosher enzyme, it's batel b'shishim. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Between these three Rishonim, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rimi Gash and the Rambam. Exactly, says the Mechaber, im hemik gvina b'or kevas k'sheira. If you curdled your cheese using the stomach lining of a kosher cow,
kosher animal, yesh batam basar asur glamutaris. If it's enough to taste like meat, like it's more than a 60th, it's asur. If it's less than a 60th, that's what you buy. It doesn't have the taste, at least the way we implement it. If it's less than a 60th, it's mutter. Avalaman Borki was the vela trefa, but if you use behematomea, but if you use the stomach lining of an avela or a trefa or a trefa species, remember behematomea means trefa species, also for kolshu, it's usher even a kolshu. We paskin like the Rimigash and the Ramam and the Rashba and most Rishonim. That Davar Hamamid of treif is usher even one in a million, but Davar Hamamid of kosher meat and milk is batel b'shishim. And that's the Ramah also agrees to the Mechamer, Rishon, the Davar Asr ba'atzmo, so it's already usher in and of itself, not just meat, something that's already usher in and of itself, umamid afil be'elf batel, and it's mamid, even one in a thousand is not batel. So any ingredient that gives the solidity to an item, mamid, if it's inherently treif, even one in a million is usher. But if you just have a meat ingredient giving the solidifying milk, or a milk ingredient solidifying meat, then it's batel b'shishim, like the Rambam and the Rimigash. That is how we paskin. Okay, there's a lot of, give me a second, there's a lot of lumdus going on here, especially the question of the, I'm just going to mention it briefly, the issue of the shach in sif katan lamid, which is, the Ramah said earlier something that seems to contradict what he said here. So, you know, Batalov? Yes. I will ask you. Here's an interesting question. Based on this principle, what if I take pork and I use somehow the pork to be mamid my milk? Then it's usher even one in a million. What if I take kosher meat and I use it to be mamid my milk? Then it's batel b'shishim. Here's an interesting question. What if I take something that already was cooked into basar b'chalav and I use it to be mamid my milk? Right? Let's say I cook meat with milk in a pot. And then, but it has the enzyme. Right? And then I take that cooked meat and milk from the pot and I use it as an enzyme. Would that be batel b'shishim or would that be asur b'mashiv? Okay, but I want to know would it be batel or not. What do you think? What? Correct. Let's just make one point, and this is an important point. We'll see much later. There's Beis Yosef who somehow misses this point, and there's some controversy as to why. But let's just get this straight. Here we have Isser Davar Hamamid. Isser into Heter is Usser Bimashu. Right? Even in a thousand, even in thousands, love that means even in a gazillion. If I have a Davar Hamamid that Basar is Mamid Cholav, then that is batel b'shishim. If it's more than a 60th, then forget about Mamid. Any combination more than 60th is trace. But if it's less than a 60th, which is the usual way people make cheese, then it's batel b'shishim. Now, how about this question? What if I have Basar b'chalav? I first made Basar b'chalav separately. I cooked pepperoni pizza. I cooked pepperoni pizza somehow with some cheese that has that enzyme, right? Or I cooked meat lasagna with cheese that has the right enzyme. So then I take some of that meat lasagna that has the enzyme and I use it to curl my milk, right? Into chalav. Or basically into heter, right? So what would you say? Would you say it's batel b'shishim or batel b'mashivim? Logically, what would you say if you were logical? Yitz, you're a logical fellow? It's also mashu. Why? Because once the basar b'chalav was already turned into basar b'chalav, it became an iser. Meaning, once you already made basar b'chalav, now it's an iser. Like, until you make it into basar b'chalav, it's just meat mixing with milk. It's not an iser yet. But it already became an iser. This is very clear. Aser b'mashu. Because once you already made basar b'chalav, now it turned into an iser. The problem is this contradicts the Ramah in Sif Yod. Said the Ramah in Sif Yod, v'imhemid bo mutzalo osur kolakvinos ad sheheshishem b'cholav shehemid neged akeva asura v'imhayashishem b'cholav hakol mutter. The Ramah said explicitly, what was the case of the Ramah? The case of the Ramah was you were kovesh or molea the cholav b'tokha keva,
right? You salted or soaked the milk of the inside the stomach of the calf so that it became basar b'chalav, right? Becomes basar b'chalav. And then you were hamid bo. Then you used it as an enzyme. Says the Ramah, it's basar b'shishim. There's a problem. It already became basar b'chalav. It became treif. Once it became an iser, why shouldn't it be aser b'mashu? That's what the Shach struggles with in Sifkat and Lamed. L'maisa paskins the Shach. Shach says very strange. Shach says the Ramah must hold that if you mix basar b'chalav with heter, then that's not considered like an iser with heter, which is a very big chiddush. Says the Shach, you know what? He must think this about basar b'chalav d'rabbanan. After all, if you soaked or salted the milk inside the stomach of the calf, why is it only basar b'chalav d'rabbanan? Because it wasn't hot, it wasn't derech bishul, right? So says the Shach, this is the chiddush of the Shach in Sifkat and Lamed, based on the Ramah. If you have basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, and then use this to be mamon chalav, it is batal b'shishim, or more mekel. Okay, this is, I don't know if this happens, right? The lundus of this is very subtle. There are two different ways to explain the lundus of this, which I don't want to totally get into. There's a Chassam Sofer who says, the Chassam Sofer is in the Pesachei Tshuva Sivkat Yudzayin, but it doesn't say what he says. It just says, see the Chassam Sofer. Yeah?
Maybe the Rebbe said you're not going to get into it, maybe if the whole problem was B'chalav is the Tam, again, there's no Tam here.
There's no time here, but once the basar b'chalav became usser, it turned into isser. Once it turned into isser, as long as it exists, it should be usser.
Why do you say it's not an intrinsic isser?
But basar b'chalav doesn't become an intrinsic isser. If you mix meat and milk, it doesn't become an intrinsic isser. So, not pashut. But we normally assume it does. That's the point. We normally assume once you mix meat and milk, it becomes an intrinsic isser. Like the meat makes the milk, and the milk makes the meat an intrinsic isser. But that's exactly the issue, is it intrinsic isser or not? So the Chassam Sofer says, oh, it's a special kula. Bas b'chalav d'rabbanan is only a gzeira because it looks like basar b'chalav. But over here, where it's just a davar hamamid, the word gozer, because like it's not so visible. So you don't notice that it's basar b'chalav. Okay, but the Rav says something more lundish. The Rav in the Shiurim in Yerdea says that the difference between basar b'chalav d'oraisa and basar b'chalav d'rabbanan. Basar b'chalav d'oraisa, when it gets mixed, turns into an intrinsic isser. Good word, intrinsic. Basar b'chalav d'rabbanan is not an intrinsic isser. It's only usser as long as you have a mixture of meat and milk. But if you dilute it and don't have a mixture of meat and milk, it becomes mutter. Okay, this is lumnus that we're not really up to now. Right? I apologize. The nature of your day is you always get up to things you're not up to. By the time you learn your last simon, you now understand everything because it ties into all the previous simon. But the first simon is challenging. But anyway, this is a big chiddush l'shach. It's sort of mochrach. And the reason is the Chassam Sofer gives a more, not a bad Balabatish explanation. He says, well, since it's only Drabbanan, they only asked it if it's like it's very noticeable. But over here, since it's not noticeable, after all, you took milk and used it to curdle cheese. Just that milk had been soaked in a stomach. That's not so noticeable. Basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, they weren't gozer if it's not noticeable. The Rav is more lumdish, he says. Basar b'chalav d'oraisa, when you mix the meat and milk, becomes intrinsically usser. Basar b'chalav d'rabbanan never becomes intrinsically usser. It's only usser while you have a mixture of meat and milk. And so therefore, if you dilute it and don't have a mixture of meat and milk, it becomes mutter. Okay, if you don't understand it, that's fine. We'll come back to it. Those who know what Chanan is, but understand that what he's saying is there's Chanan and basar b'chalav d'oraisa, but not in basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, which is precisely what the Rav is saying. Okay, we'll come back to that. Anyway, but halacha l'maisa, we should all understand. Now, we are ready to move on to one more halacha before we get to the next simon. Yes? Yes. Right.
Is it mutter drabbanan to do it?
Is it mutter drabbanan to do the kvisha and to do the malicha?
Yeah.
Simple pshat is yes. It is mutter drabbanan to do it. It's just a foolish thing to do because it's not going to be very useful afterwards. But simple pshat is it's mutter to do. What?
It's still mutter
drabbanan. Correct. So the simple pshat is, remember, it's a chumra b'alma to not mix it to be nana from it. Remember that Ramah, Chomer B'Alma, according to the Rebbe Kiva Eger, but it really would be mutter. Yeah. It really would be mutter. Yeah, theoretically. might not be mahadrin, but it would be mutter. Not be mahadrin, because Rama says there's a chumrah to not mix things and feed them to my animal. But it would be mutter. Okay, last halacha. Very, very important halacha. Comes up a lot in kashrus. Maybe not in your house, but in factories, etc. Aval v'davka, last line from the Mordechai, shelo yisham mamed achar reka aser. When is it a problem for your mamed be'is with something aser if the only mamed, the only enzyme was the treif? Aval v'hoisham gam mamed heter, if there was a treif enzyme and a kosher enzyme, having zevzeg gorim, something called zevzeg gorim, right? What masechet would you find zevzeg gorim in? You would find it in Pesachim, correct? And?
Shabbos.
And Avodah Zarah. And Shabbos, you would find something very similar, which the Mefarshim connect, correct. And maybe we'll use that mashal. It's a good mashal. But the Gemara in Pesachim and Avodah Zarah discuss Zevzeg Gorim. You have an effect which is caused by this and that. And Usher thing and a Mutter thing have a partnership and do something. Do we blame the Usher or blame the Mutter? So we Paskins, Vachlux Tanaim, Yosin the Chacham, Rabbi Lezion the Chacham, and we Paskins, Zevzeg Gorim Mutter. If you have something which is done in a partnership of an usser and a mutter factor, we say it wasn't done by the usser factor, and therefore it's mutter. Therefore he says, mutter mikashisha negata isser. It's mutter as long as the isser is less than a 60th. If the isser is more than a 60th, then what? Nothing to talk about. If it's more than a 60th, isser is treif. We're talking here where it's a dabra mamid. You know, really the isser is only 1/10,000th. But dabra mamid is usser. Dovin or Mamed is Aser if the Isser was Mamed. But if the Isser and Heter were Mamed together, that's called Zevzeg Gorim, and it's a Machlokes Tanaim, and we clearly Paskin Zevzeg Gorim is Mutter. And how did this come up? This came up for the Rishonei Ashkenaz, because they all held like Ravina Tam. If you will go back to the last year, maybe Ravina Tam held that if you have a calf's stomach, the liquid milk is milkic, but the solid milk is pariv. So what happened in the days of the Rishonei Ashkenaz? Someone had, with liquid ants, the stomach was half liquid, half solid. And they accidentally salted it inside the stomach lining. So now, the liquid milk became basar b'chalav, but the solid milk stayed mutter. And now they used the whole milk as a mamid, but some of it was the liquid milk that's treif, and some of it was the solid milk that's kosher. So they used a combination of kosher and treif mamid. That was the actual case of the Mordechai. And they wanted to know what the halacha was. Says, well, Zev is a Gorim. Zev is a Gorim is Mutter. And that's a clear psak. Zev is a Gorim is Mutter. Very, very clear psak. Halacha l'maisa, that Zev is a Gorim is Mutter. Okay, so Zev is a Gorim is Mutter. But Betzalel, can you help me out here? And you mentioned Masechah Shabbos, right? So now you're responsible for Masechah Shabbos.
Okay.
Okay, in Masechah Shabbos, what is like Zev is a Gorim? Yeah, it might or may not be totally Zev Zev, but it's a good mashali. Shnayim Shasa'uhu. How many kinds of Shnayim Shasa'uhu are there? Right? There's Zev Yachov Zeinu Yachov. That's not really Shnayim Shasa'uhu, right? If two things do it, two guys carry a chair. One of them could carry the chair and the other guy couldn't carry the chair. Then clearly, who do we blame? The guy who could carry the chair, right? He didn't need the help. That's called Messiah in Bomamish. Helping doesn't count.
Shabbos is also
no? Okay, I know. I'm just using it as a muscle. Okay, but let's say two even gormim. Two equal gormim. Are there two different kinds of cases of two equal factors? They could equally be
not capable.
Not capable or equally be capable, right? Ze'enu Yachov, Ze'enu Yachov, Ze'yachov, Ze'yachov. I'm not saying it depends on Shabbos. It's just a good way to express it, right? Meaning, it could be me and Yitz carry out a pen on Shabbos. We're both equal partners. We both could do it alone. Or me and Yitz carry out a couch on Shabbos. We're both equal partners. Neither of us could do it alone. Right? So which one would you think is more chomer? Actually, not Pasha. Most people assume the pen because really we're each capable of doing the melacha ourselves. So now, forget about health of Shabbos. More machmer. But it's not Pashat, because you go say the Penish Lo Kedarka on Shabbos.
Right.
Okay, so forget the Mashal. Let's go back to our case. There's two different cases of Zev Zegorim, right? One case of Zev Zegorim is called, now forget about Shabbos for now, Zeh Eino Yachol, V'Zeh Eino Yachol. What do I mean? You need 5 cc's of enzyme, and you have 3 cc's of Isser, plus 3 cc's of heter. cc's are what we use here instead of fluids, it's cubic centimeters, right? Just volume. A cc is also called a milliliter, right? If you care. Anyway, you need five, and you have three of Isser, three of Heter. The Isser couldn't have done it. The Heter couldn't have done it.
Would it matter if it was 3 and 2?
No, wouldn't matter if it was 4 and 1, or 4.9 and 0.1, or 4.9 and 4.9, right? So this is, everyone agrees, is mutter. And you understand why it's mutter, because the Isser couldn't have done anything. Now, there's a Tana who said it's Usser, because it's a Shutfus. But we paskin it's mutter. The controversial case is, what about Zeyachol Vezeyachol? Like, for example, you need 5 cc's of enzyme, and you have 5 cc's of Isser, plus 5 cc's of Heter.
Why didn't you do it?
What? Because they weren't medayik. They weren't being exact. You know, when you're running a factory, you don't always do things exactly, so, especially in the old days. Nowadays, the factories do things exactly. It's all computerized. In the old days, you just threw some in, whatever. You weren't some adoptic, right? You did more. You basically wasted, right? Zeh yachol, zeh yachol. Right? Now, on the one hand, here, maybe it's more chomer, because the Isser is really enough to do a mamet. On the other hand, you don't need the Isser. You would have had mamet without the Isser.
Does it go faster?
Does it go faster is a great question. There's a whole sugi about that in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samaches. Does it go faster or not? The sugi is really about leavening. If you put yeast in bread, and taka, it does go faster if you put too much yeast. And then it starts to get bad. My intuition is that it doesn't go faster with enzymes. I don't think more enzymes make it go faster, but I'm not sure. But I don't think so. Okay, but lemaisa, this is a big machlokis that's discussed in the mefarshim here. The Mordechai is pretty clear that it is usser in this case. Pretty clear that it's usser in this case. He says, if the isser is not big enough to do it without the help of the heter, then it's mutter. And then so that's the mashmos of the Mordechai. This is a big machlokus. The Shach and the Taz deal with it. There's a lot of lumdus, but we don't have time to go into it nowadays. But says the Taz, says the Mordechai is pretty medoyik, and he also says in the Gemara. He says the Taz, muchach midiver abayi b'herkol atzlamim. So mikri zevzei gormel me'ein be'echmei levai k'dei l'chametz. It's only the heter zevzei gormel if neither one alone could do it. If the Isser is enough to do the job, then the fact that there's also a Heter does not help anything. It's still training. Okay, this is very controversial because it's a mafurish machlokes tanaim about. The reason this is so controversial is a machlokes chacham and Rabbi Shimon about if you put in enough kosher yeast to do it and enough trade yeast to do it. Is that mutter usser, this case? And then the machlokes Yishonim had a paskin, and then the machlokes Yishonim that the Shach mentions whether Mamid is the same as mechametz, as leavening, or whether they're different. I'll pilum this. Anyway, the Shach leaves it bitzorich iyun medina. Halacha lemaisa says the Taz usser, says the Shach tzorich iyun medina. Obviously, the Ramah is not so clear. The Ramah is not so clear. The Taz thinks the Ramah is makel on this, but the Ramah really is not very clear about this. Lemaisa were machmir, and we say the heter of zev zegorim is only if the isser couldn't have done it alone. Then you say, the isser didn't do anything. It needed the help of the heter. The isser didn't do anything, but if the isser could have done it alone, you just had extra redundant, unnecessary heter that could have done it, then we are machmir halacha lemaisa.
If the isser is also about no, it only does half.
Then it's still.
Then
it doesn't matter. Still mutter. Zev zegorim in the case of Zeinu Yachov Zeinu Yachov.
Isn't that a big finish?
It is. Machlok Tanaim, but that's not the pasuk.
No, even though it's usher bado, it did something.
And that's something.
That's
the machlok. Because after all, even in the top case, it did something. We wouldn't have had it without it, right? Wouldn't have cheese without it. We wouldn't have had anything without it. Nonetheless, we are mikel. Basically, we say even if something else about Noah, it's only also if you get a full Hanah from it, not if it just contributed. Okay, I know it's a chiddush. Okay, and obviously it's a bigger sugya, but not for now. Where Solomon, you have a second? I'm sorry to bother you again.
No problem at all.
And I think we're ready for Simon Peiches. Simon Peiches. This is the, remember, the eighth, almost all of them must be called the eighth parak of Chulin, as we mentioned. Already at in the beginning of the eighth parak, we have a, this comes up a few times. Kol ha-basar, basar, etc. Asur l'ha'os ha-mefino al-shochan, chosim basar dagim ha-chagam. All meat is asur to put with cheese on the same table, except for fish and locusts, which are not flesh. Right? But all meat, even basar chai ba'of, even chicken, is asur to put with cheese. Table, the second mission tells us, ha'of olam al-gvin al-shochan, me'in nechal v'shamay, 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 v'shamay says, you can put chicken and cheese on the table, just don't eat them together. Tell us, says no, as Xera, don't put chicken and cheese on the table because you might eat them together. We obviously pass like this. Hello, right? That you're not allowed to put chicken and cheese on the table at the same time. So let's see this in the Shulchan Aruch.
Is that only people who eat both of them? I'm eating my hamburger on one side of the table, or I have my cheese on the other side. Once I eat the hamburger, can't eat the cheese. So.
No, that's exactly what
it is. On the table?
Yeah. If you're planning to eat both of them, of course that's asr. You're planning to eat basar chalav. Of course that's asr. The chiddush is, even
no,
if you're not planning to
eat...
No. Even if, let's say, me and my wife, we have different tastes, right? Okay? It's okay if you and your wife have different tastes. That's not a problem. Everyone's different. She doesn't have to agree with you on everything. You love fleishig and hate milchig. She loves milchig and hates fleishig. So you're going to have a hamburger, and she's going to have lasagna. And you're only going to eat the hamburger, she's only going to eat lasagna. No problem. The answer is problem. Right? That's exactly what's usher. It's usher to put them both on the table, because you might eat a little lasagna, or she might eat a little hamburger. That's exactly what's usher. Even if you're having chicken, which is only drabanan, still, we possibly get hillel, of course, is always that it's still usher. Okay, just to review, the Tosfos and the Marshal and the Bach thought, since we asked for chicken on the table, we must hold chicken as doraisa. But we don't want to pass the chicken for Rabbanan and still asked for chicken on the table. So let us read the Machaber Afila Basar Chayva Of, even the meat of a Chayva Of, which is only asked for Rabbanan, the way we paskin. Asr la'aloso ala shulchan she'ochel of gvina. You're not allowed to put on the table when you're eating cheese. And likewise, you're not allowed to put cheese on the table when you're eating meat. Shema yala shalo yavala achol yachim, so you don't come to eat them together. Avol shulchan she'sorel of tav shol much release in zebis hazeh. But on the counter where you're preparing the food, you're allowed to put them next to each other. Meaning, if you're not eating, you're allowed to have cheese and meat on the same counter. We're not afraid you'll mix the cheese and meat. Because you're not eating. Right? So you can have cheese on the counter and meat on the counter. And when you're working with the meat, you'll work with the meat. When you're working with the cheese, you'll work with the cheese. We're not afraid you'll accidentally pour one into the other. Or if you do pour one into the other, you'll realize and throw it in the garbage. Because you're not eating now, so you won't do an aveira. But on the table, when you're eating, very often you're eating one thing, you just taste something else for 1 second without realizing. And then you've done an aveira. We'll have to see exactly what the answer is. So that is how we paskin very, very clearly. Now, what is controversial here? Let's think about this for a second. You're not allowed to put even chicken on the table with cheese while you're eating. What might happen? Lest what? Lest you do what? You come to eat chicken and cheese together. And what would be so bad if you came to eat chicken and cheese together?
Come to eat meat.
Next time you might come to eat beef and cheese together. Isn't that called a? Xera. Right? This is the fundamental problem that everyone wonders. Isn't this a Xera l'Xera? And you even say it's a Xera, although if you read the Gemara, you'll realize they addressed it. Xera l'Xera l'Xera. After all, they are what? You didn't cook them together. But the Gemara does say, Shema yala be'ilfas roteach. That you might combine them in a, although even so, you could say, what? Right now I have cold cheese, let's say I have cold cheese and cold chicken on my table. What's the problem? The problem is I might eat the cold cheese with cold chicken. Okay, what's the problem with that? Next time it might be a klirishon of chicken and put the cheese. What's the problem with that? I might have a klirishon of beef and put the cheese. It's so many xeris. So, but let's leave that aside for now. It's a xera, isn't it a xera, l'xera? So, So says the Taz. Yes.
To clarify, if they're both hot and they mix, is that called bishul?
If they're both hot and they mix, is that called bishul? So we said earlier, if it's in a kli rishon, then most poskim say that's called bishul doraisa. If it's in a kli rishon. If it's not in a kli rishon, then lechor, that's only drabanan. That was our hachra. In a kli rishon, that is bishul doraisa. Not in a kli rishon is only drabanan.
Like as Rabbi said before, that if they would spill and they would mix, we would not throw it out, but you'd already be over the iser. If it's in a kli rishon.
But I was saying about the counter. If it's in a kli rishon taka, okay, fine. So I'll just take that back and say that we're not afraid you'll spill one thing into another. The svar would be, when you're preparing things, you're careful about what you do. You don't carelessly pour things, right? Meaning, I might, but that's why I prepare food in my house. My wife would never carelessly put something where it didn't belong when she was cooking the food. But when you eat, you sometimes carelessly nosh. Okay, now, says the Taz, the afal pi shek she'ochlon yachad na leke isro reisha shein isro al davke derech bishol yachad v'nim tzedavik zera l'gzera v'gmar amrina v'gav negos meaning zera l'gzera. Now, the Gemara doesn't actually say this. Right? The Gemara doesn't actually say this. The Gemara says, does it say the opposite? It might depend on how you interpret the Gemara. Might be given to interpretation.
It's not a Gemara.
Okay, good. The Taz thinks, I'll tell you why in a second. The Taz says it's a Gzera L'Gzera, and goes in like Gzera L'Gzera. So you know, like, there's some rules that, like, we really strict to keep. And there's some rules that, I don't know, there's a phrase in English, they're honored in the breach. There's some rules that have a lot of exceptions. Right? You have to know, everyone has to know, you go into a certain culture, you know which rules are, like, absolute, and which rules, there's plenty of exceptions. So, the rule of Ein Gozrin L'Gzera L'Gzera has lots of exceptions. Many of the Rishonim and Achronim say, Ein Gozrin L'Gzera L'Gzera, except sometimes you can, if Chazal thought it was necessary. Usually we're not Gozrin L'Gzera L'Gzera. Stam, we're not Gozrin L'Gzera L'Gzera for no reason. But in a case where they really thought it was likely to do an Avera, you're allowed to be Gozer Gzera L'Gzera. It's not an absolute rule. It's just a rule of thumb. It's just a guideline. And that's the Taz, the guideline in Gzera Gozer Gzera L'Gzera. But, really, you can be Gozer Gzera L'Gzera in this case.
You're assuming B'chai Gavna means this case and not this type of case or whatever? He's not referring to like a category or a principle?
No, I think that he's referring to a category. The category is cases where Chazal thought it was likely that it would be problematic.
Okay.
But as you can see, it's an amorphous category. Okay. However, the Prima Gaon points out, and if you read the Gemara, Rashi doesn't sound that way. Rashi sounds like it's one Gzeira. So Rashi sounds like it's one Gzeira. What does Rashi say? Says Rashi. Says Rashi. Here we are. Even though we would not be gozer putting chicken and cheese on your table because you might eat it, because that would be gzera l'gzera. What if you did eat chicken and cheese? It's only gzera, says Rashi. Ika l'migzer halasu atu halas v'achilas basar behema. And then he continues, be'elfas roteach. You're not allowed to put chicken and cheese on the table as one gzera. Today I'll put chicken and cheese. Tomorrow I will put beef and cheese in a pan and eat it, which is an issur d'oraisa. So today, I put chicken on a plate and cheese on a plate on the table. And what's the problem? If I'm used to putting milk and placing on the table together, next time, I'll put cheese and beef in a pot together, in a pan on the table, in a kli rishon on the table, and I'll eat them. And I'll do an issur d'oraisa. But it's a one step. Now, it's a one step. Now you say it's a big step, but Rashi thinks it's a reasonable step. So here, basically, the question is this a gzeira l'gzeira? Says Rashi, no. Gvina ve'of atu achilas basar behima v'gvina. The ilfas is a stew pot, I think, technically, roteach. That today I'll put chicken on one plate and cheese on the next plate, and tomorrow I'll put chicken on one, I'll put beef on one inch of the pan, and cheese next to it on the next inch of the pan, and then I'll eat them together. And that'll be basar b'chol d'oraisa.
This guy is such an unforgivable amor, so you will actually go put boiling hot meat boiling hot cheese and boiling hot meat. He doesn't know the definition.
You're older than I am, and you haven't learned never to underestimate the stupidity of people?
I just wanted to bring it out.
Okay, never underestimate the stupidity of people. Never underestimate the stupidity of people. Like, there's a limit to how evil people will be, but there's no limit to how stupid people can be.
Okay,
we're not getting into that now. You're right. We're not going to compare in the 20th century how many people were killed by evil dictators and how many people were killed by stupid dictators. Although you'd be fascinated to see the statistics. Right? How many people did Hitler kill trying to kill people? And how many people did Mao kill trying to help people? I'd rather have neither. Hashem should save us from either. Okay, anyway, Viter. That's Rashi. However, why does the Taz disagree with Rashi? But the Taz didn't know how to read Rashi? Taz also knew how to read Rashi. He also had Rashi at home. Why did the Taz think differently? Because he's commenting. He's not writing Perush on the Gemara. He's writing Perush on Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. Look at the Lashon of the Rambam. It's exactly the opposite of Rashi. Rashi says, it's not a gzira to put chicken in milk because you might eat chicken with milk. Because then, what's wrong with eating chicken and milk? It's only being gzira l'gzira. However, says the Rambam and the Mechaber, you'll take my word for it, the Mechaber is the Lashon of the Rambam. Asur la lo sol shulchan shulchan l'gvina shelo yavo l'achol n'yachad. Why are you not allowed to put chicken and cheese? Because you might come to eat them together, to eat the chicken with cheese. What's so bad about eating chicken with cheese? Because next time, if you put them together, you might come to eat the chicken with cheese. And if you eat the chicken with cheese, you might come to eat beef with cheese. And therefore, it's xero l'xero. That's the real diuk. So here we have the Taz al pi lashon harambam veha shulchan aruch. He says, yes, it is xero l'xero. Halas vina v'ok. Now I realize he's adding something, right? Otu. Right? Because he also points out that it's not derech bishul, right? Otu. Achilas vina v'ok. If you put them on the table, you might eat them together. Otu. Achilas vina v'ok derech bishul. Right, this is what the Taz adds. Atu achilas basar b'chalav mamish. Right, with beef. Okay, and are you allowed to make gzeira l'gzeira? Yeah, sure. Sometimes you make a lot of gzeiras. Okay, that's not an absolute rule. So this is a fundamental machlokas. Rashi thinks we mamish don't make gzeira l'gzeiras. This is one gzeira. In one step, you might make a big mistake from putting chicken and milk on your table to putting meat and milk in a pot on your table and eating it. One step, gzera. Big step, but it's a one step gzera. While in the Mechaber and Marma, it's clear, he says, don't put even oaf with cheese on your table, you might eat it together. And so what? First, you might eat it together, and then you might eat basar b'chalav. And the Taz adds, which also you don't have to say anything more, first you leave it cold, and then you leave it hot. Okay, so then it's a three step gzera, l'gzera, l'gzera. Okay, where does he get this from? He gets this from a diok lashon mother of the Rambam and Mechaber. The Rambam and Mechaber say, don't put chicken and cheese on the table because you might eat them together. But we know that's not d'oraisa, so that shows you're making zero l'xero. Okay, is there enough kmina to this? Maybe we'll see later. But at the very least, there's a lumdish, conceptual enough kmina.
Ilfus kli rishon, meat and milk, meat and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Is that slia? What happens when they come together?
No, an ilfus, I think, means a stew pot in ancient Greek or whatever they got it from, and a stew pot is liquid, so it's l'chora bishul in a liquid, which is in a kli rishon, and bishul in a kli rishon is a bishul d'oraisa.
The meat and the cheese touching each other.
Yeah, about them. It actually doesn't matter as long as they're in the same soup, even if they're not touching each other, it's an issue d'oraisa, right? Because the tam goes through the soup, through the gravy, right?
Even not if, because of the touching.
Even if they're not touching each other, if I put a mesh mechitza. And I cook a soup, and I put a metal grate in the middle, and the meat's on this side, the cheese on that side. It's still also d'oraisa because through the water, all the taste combines.
Well, it doesn't say that they're going to bump into each other.
No. Through the water, combines the taste just fine in of itself. Okay, let's continue. Now the question is: are there any heterim? Right? What are the heterim? So the Gemara has a heter. The Mishnah has a heter. It's interesting. The first three Mishnayos all talk about this. The first Mishnah says, you can't eat basar b'chalav and you can't be mala on the table with gvina. Second Mishnah says, beshama is matur chicken on the table with gvina, but beis hillel asers. And the third Mishnah says,
something else. And then, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, and we assume everyone agrees, Shnei Achsonoim, two travelers who are staying in an inn. Right? But why two travelers staying in? They don't know each other, right? You go to the, Museum of Natural History in Chol HaMoed Pesach, right? You're eating at the table and the goyim are eating at the table, right? So there's more chomer v'vas b'chalav. Okay, let's say you go to the Israeli Museum on Chol HaMoed Pesach and everyone's having matzah. But you're having matzah with deli meat. And the family next to you, who you never met from Kiryat Gat, is having matzah with cheese. So no problem. No problem. What's the svara? Why no problem? Obviously, because you're not going to come to eat each other's food because you don't take food from strangers. Like, it's not done, right? You only have days if it's your own food or if it's your family or your host's food. But you're not going to take a stranger's food. Great. Okay, so now we have a heter. The heter is people who don't know each other. Okay, without getting into the details yet, the Gemara then has a second heter. Lo asu ela b'tfisa achas. Tfisa achas. Okay, ain't tfisa achas. They only answered in one tfisa, or like one tfisa. Tfisa, like with a tough, like. So, what does it mean, tfisa achas? No one knows what tfisa achas is. So let's look at, I'm pretty sure we got this. Let's look at what's mutter. So, the first heter, let's go in order. First heter is Shnei Achsinoin She'ein Makirin, right? That don't know each other, right? That's much, that's obvious much, because we all know you're not going to eat each other's food. Okay, now the Gemara actually is an interesting question. I'll go back to something I said I was going to skip. The Gemara says, and that's the Lo Shana Lo Kirin Zevel. Kirin Zevel also. The heter of two Achsinoin is only if they don't know each other. But if they know each other, then it's usher, because then they're friendly and they might share their food. Okay, very commonsensical. Now, they bring a proof for this, and then they say, what if you have two brothers? They really know each other, but they're mocking on each other, right? Anyone have the book Labels for Label when they were a kid? You have Labels for Label, right? Avada. So let's say they're Labels for Label, brother. Okay, whatever, long story. They're very mocking. They're two brothers. They know each other, but they're very machbid not to share with each other because they're breakers. So, what's the din? So, you might say it's mutter because they wouldn't share with each other. Or you might say, every day we have to figure out the halacha based on what mood they're in? No, we have to make a general rule, a little plug, that if you know each other, it's usher. So, which way do we go? So, we say here, Amrali, Yomer, Kala, Shrikin, Asurin, Shrikin, Baitos, Mutarin? What? You're going to say all the biscuits are usher, and Baitos' biscuits are mutter? It's from Hilchas Pesach. There is, when they made, nowadays the biscuits, they all have the designs in them. They say petit there. So they said it's usher to make those on Pesach because it takes so long to make the design that it'll become chametz, right? By the time you make the design. Say, how about Baitos? He has a machine that stamps them and makes the design in 1 second, so it should be mutter for him. They say, no, you have to have a general rule. You can't evaluate each case separately. You already say everyone's biscuits, decorated biscuits are usher and Baitos are mutter. No, you have to have a general rule. Okay, what's the point? You have to have a general rule. You can't do every, you can't evaluate each situation individually. That's not how Xeris work. The way Xeris work is they made general rules. In which case, even if people know each other, even if they're machbid, there's a general rule that it is still usher. Here we have a bit of a machlokas. So, what about Achin umakpidin, still usher, because the general rule. Now, here we have a little bit of machlokas. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. This is all heter number one, right? Good. Ha da asal shulchan. When is the usher put on the table? Actually, sorry. I apologize. This is heter two. Heter one was in the last sif. Shulchan shesoder Allah Hatavsho equals when you're not eating.
Is there an afkamina between whether you consider that the gzera is not there or whether it's a heter to the gzera?
No. Anyway, so the first heter was in Sevalif, right? If you're not eating, you're allowed to put it on the table together. That's not the case. There only goes aren't eating. Second heter is eating if you don't know the guy. But if you just hate your brother, then there's still an isser.
which makes sense because you have to have general rules and it can't depend on your emotions. It has to depend on cold, hard facts, such as do you know the guy or not know the guy. Now, here we have, so says the Mechaber, Hadasalos al Shochan Davka B'Shnei B'Nei Adam, Hamakirin Zetzeh, Afilu Hei Makpidim Zelzeh. Even if they're makpid, but guests who don't know each other are mutter. Okay, stop. Here we have a interesting machlok is the Maharshal. Says the Maharshal, although everyone rejects the Maharshal, it's in the Shah Sivkat and Beis and the Taz Sivkat and Dalet. The example is brothers of makpid. What about people who know each other and are makpid? That's interesting. How about Makirin u Makpidin? They know each other, but they're Makpid. So then what do we say? You could say, well, low plug, if you know each other, the Xer applies to you. Or you could say, no. The low plug is on people who have a relationship, but hate each other, because that's a volatile emotion. But people who know each other and don't like each other, like, it's as if they don't know each other. They're just not friends. So you're like, do you say, well, if they're Makirin u Makpid, they're just not friends? So the Xer doesn't apply to them, or no, they're friends who are Machbid. And the Xer does apply. So I think our intuition is probably Mimachbir here. But who's Makel? Maharshal. Says the Maharshal. Mutter. He says Mutter. And why? He says the low plug is on brothers, because brothers have a relationship even when they hate each other. But people who acquaintances who don't get along, they just become strangers again. And therefore, the Xer doesn't apply to them. That's not intuitive. That's not what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber says, "Hamakirin zetzal filu hein makpidim." He didn't say anything about brothers. He says, if you know each other, even if you don't like each other, even if you're in a fight, even if you don't share, even if you're selfish with each other, it doesn't matter. Whoever knows each other, there's a Xer on. The only heter was Achsanon, people in an inn who come from different places who've never met each other. The Gemara says, this comes from the south and then from the north. And that's why, says the Mechaber and the Shach, and the Taz and all the poskim usher. No, that's part of the little plug. We definitely poskim against the Maharshal here, right? We say, no, the little plug is if you know each other, the Xer applies to you. Okay, there's also a very strange language in the Torah here that the Taz deals with. Interestingly, I'll just show you a methodological point. Whenever there's a strange line in the Torah that doesn't actually affect the halacha l'maisa, the Shach doesn't discuss it. So the Shach is only interested in what's starting from the Mechaber and bringing in things relevant to halacha l'maisa. He's not writing parish on the Torah, he's writing parish on the Shulchan Aruch. So if he needs to make a diuk in the Torah to get to halacha l'maisa, that's one thing. But if it's not relevant, he doesn't care. The Taz is writing parish on the Shulchan Aruch and on the Torah. He just puts it on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. There's a line in the Torah, even sometimes there's a line in the Torah in a topic that is not nogeya, that we don't even discuss that whole topic in the Shulchan Aruch. He will write a parish on it. So the Taz here in Sukkot and Hay writes a parish on the strange lush in the Torah. I don't know if the Shach discusses the strange lush in the Torah at all, because that's not his problem. Anyway, okay, the strange lush in the Torah, the Taz discusses it. We're going to skip it. It has nothing to do with Halach Lamaisa for now.
Two placemats.
Well, give me a second. Okay. Give me a second. Okay. Now the Gemara says something else. It's only Aser Ke'en Tfisa Achas. But if it's not Ke'en Tfisa Achas, it's Mutter. So now, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said this three, that tfisa achas is usur, ke'ein tfisa achas is usur, but obviously, right, lav ke'ein tfisa achas is mutter. The Gemara says tfisa achas is obviously usur. The Chiddush is ke'ein tfisa achas is usur. But if it's not getting tfisa achas, it's mutter. The problem is no one knows what tfisa means. So they try to go all over shas and find the word tfisa to prove what it means. Well, not so pasha, because like just because you find the word tfisa used someplace in shas doesn't mean that's what it means here. What does tfisa literally mean? Right, tfisa means catching, right? Grabbing. Okay. So what are the two pshatim? Let's call it Tosfos versus the Rif and the Rambam, okay? Tosfos versus the Rif and the Rambam. What does the Rif and the Rambam say? Let's see if we could squeeze it. No, we could, right? Gevaldik. The Rif and the Rambam. Say, tfisa achas means expense account. right? Bank account. Meaning, who's paying for the food? Tfisa achas means it's only usher if we're using the same expense account for the food. Because if we use the same expense account for the food, then we're all going to eat all the food, right? I have my dish, you have your dish. But we're both paying for the same money. So of course we're going to share the food. As it says, same expense account. That's what's usher. Because of course you're going to share your food. You're both paying for both of it. It's like we're partners in a business, right? So I order my food, you order your food, but we both pay with the business credit card. So of course we're going to share. It's both of our money. In other words, that's obvious usher. No, the chiddush even ke'ein tfisa achas. Ke'ein tfisa achas. Ke'ein tfisa achas means friends, people who know each other. It's not the same money, but they might share. And even if they're machpid, it's a little plug, right? Ke'ein tfisa achas. They really have different money, but you know, friends share small things with each other, right? You expect if your friend's eating a snack, you expect he's going to share it with. Now, if a stranger, right? If I sit on the subway and a stranger's eating a snack, if I say, can I have some of your snack? Then he's going to be very scared that some lunatic's next to him on the subway and like look for a policeman, right? But if I see my friend eating a snack, it's very reasonable to expect him to share a snack with me, right? Even if I wouldn't ask him, I would be insulted if he didn't offer. A friend should. So that's ke'ein tfisa achas. What is lav ke'ein tfisa achas? Lav ke'ein tfisa achas means strangers. In which case, according to the Rif and the Rambam, what number should I use here? Should I use number 3? What should this number be according to the Rif and the Rambam? 2. It's just repeating what we already know, right? We already know the heter of strangers. Now we're repeating the heter of strangers in different words. Okay, why are we repeating different words? The sugya repeats it a few times. So according to the Rif and the Rambam, there's no third heter. It's just the second heter. But what does Tosfos say? What does Tosfos say Tfisa means? Not expense account. But what does Tosfos say Tfisa means? Tosfos says Tfisa, what's grabbing? Right? Yeah, grabbing, like being together. He says Tfisa Achas means you mix the meat and milk. Right? You mamish put them together. Or I don't mean mix, like you might stir them. Let's say better. I mean they are, right? They are placed together. You put meat and milk. It's only us if you put meat and milk tfisa achas together in the same plate. You dump cheese and meatballs. Whereas it's obvious that's us, sir. That's not the xera. That's obvious that's us, sir, right? Tfisa achas is obviously us, sir. That's too obvious. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is even ke'ein tfisa achas, even if they are near each other. The milk and meat are near each other. That's what's usher. But only ke'ein tfisa achas, if it's near each other, like being on the same plate. But what if it's not even ke'ein tfisa achas? What would be not ke'ein tfisa achas if it was? If it was a heker, exactly. If there was a divider in between. And I mean divider like a brick wall. A heker. If there was a symbolic divider in between. I don't mean a divider, a brick wall with spikes and barbed wire. No, if there's a symbolic divider in between, then it's not even ke'ein tvisa achas. Not only not together, it's not even similar together. And then it's mutter, in which case, for Tosfos, we have a third heter. The heter is, if you have a symbolic divider in between, then there's no gzeira. Why? Because the symbolic divider will remind you not to mix meat and milk. Yes?
There's a practical definition here of ke'ein tvisa achas that it's like within grabbing ring.
So interestingly, that's a good svara, right? That's not what Tosfos says, although everyone says it's true anyway. It's interesting, that's not what Tosfos says, although that seems pashut to us, right? And as a matter of fact, is it only to us it's pashut or to everyone it's pashut? Pischi Chuvus of Kutin Gimel. Kosva Bach Bashem or Marshal. Debi Yoshu Merchokim Zemizevach Deisha and Yochel Echel Lifshi Yadav Lechem Asha Ochavir Shari Lidivir Kol Below Akeira. He says, the Rekol, he says, even the Rif and the Rama admit to this. This is better than Tosfos, right? He doesn't say there's a Pshat in there. You're right. Someone should have. Probably someone does. I just forgot. Right? But, says Chaim, by the way, do we Paskin like Tosfos or like the Rif and the Rama? Tosos, look at the Mechaber, Vafilo Makira, and also Shom Hecker. Even if you're friendly, if you make a symbolic reminder, like you have separate tablecloths, or you even have the same tablecloth, but you put a loaf of bread in between you as a reminder, meaning the symbolic divider could be in the tablecloths, like separate placemats, although the postkin writes that's only if you don't always eat on separate placemats, or it could be separate placemats, or it could be put something in between, then it's much, or we paskin like Tosos. Says the Maharshal in the Piskei Tshuvos of Gutten Gimel, a fourth heter. Piskei Tshuva, Sifkat and Gimel. Rechokim Zemizeh. How far is far that you can't reach? If it's too far to reach, now, could you get up and walk around the table and mix meat and milk? Yes, but that's unlikely, right? You'll think twice when you have to get up and walk around the table, right? It's not going to be instinctive, momentary. Okay, so says the Maharshal, he's makel if you're very far away from each other. Which, as Chaim points out, could be a pshat in lav kein tfisa achas. Although that doesn't seem to be what the, at least, that doesn't seem to be what the Tosos is saying.
According to the Rambam, it's the same money. My cheese, my meat, my meat. The hecker's not going to work.
Correct.
The Shulchan Aruch is make against the Rambam?
The Marshal, he doesn't seem to say it like Chaim wants to. Although, maybe he should have. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch is makel against the Rambam, yes. But why is he makel against the Rambam? We're going to have to stop now. He's makel against the Rambam because it's against the Rambam for Shana the Gemara, but the Rambam never explicitly said it's not true. Like, the Rambam basically says there's no Gemara that's mater, a symbolic divider, a hecker. And the Rambam didn't say that a hecker is mater. But the Rambam never explicitly said it wasn't mutter. Therefore, even though it's mostly against the Rambam, it's not legamri against the Rambam, and it's only Xerah Rabbanan anyway, and therefore he felt comfortable being Makel here. And Lamaisa, we are Makel. Okay, there's one or two more things to say. Let me just point out one last thing. What's the requirement of a symbolic hecker? There are different opinions about this. The Bach has a different opinion, but the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz all agree. Read the Ramah, V'davkishen ochlem na'pasim unukmen name lehecker. Only if you put a loaf of bread you're not eating from, then it's a good symbolic divider. Avolim ochlem imenu lohabi hecker. But if you're eating from the bread, then how is it a reminder? Devolav haki pasha ochlem imenu mochlem loch. You always put the bread you eat on the table, meaning if it belongs on the table, it's not a divider. It has to be something which doesn't belong on the table. Avolim nasim imenu klisha shosim imenu v'lav haki ain't dark olios al shochan avi hecker al klisha shosim imenu. But if you put the pitcher between you, and you don't usually keep the pitcher on the table, then it is a hecker. And for sure, if you put a lamp or other things that aren't normally supposed to be between you on the table, that is a hecker. The principle in the Ramah is clear. The Bach thinks differently. The Bach thinks has to be something you're not eating. You're not using to be a hecker. But the Ramah and the Shach and Taz say no. Anything that's not usually there is a hecker. So if you put anything that's not usually on the phone, so for example, nowadays you put your smartphone on the table, that's not a hecker, because everyone always has a smartphone on the table so they could use it while they're eating, instead of relating to their family members. But if you put something that, if you have ketchup, we always put ketchup on the table. Okay, you have to put something that's not usually there. It doesn't matter what it says in Ramah. It depends what you do in your house, right? Or what you both do, or what most people do. So that's what's the rule of a hecker. There are two requirements. And with this, we'll end. What are the two requirements? One is what the Ramah and Shach and Taz say. A, it's not supposed to be there. You know, based on the normal minhag of what people do in your house. And B, what's the other requirement that's mentioned in the Taz of Kut and Dalid? From the quoting the Isra Heter Ha'arach, quoting Dr. Moshe on the Isra Heter Ha'arach, it has to be Gavawa Ktsas, somewhat tall, meaning it has to be big enough to be noticeable. I can't put a key on the table because you're not going to notice it. By the way, the same halachas are also relevant to Hilchos Nida. And we'll see if all the halachas are the same in Hilchos Nida. We'll have to come back to that. Gavawa Ktsas, meaning it has to be.
What's the shoe?
noticeable. What's the shear is a great question, right? Gavok tzas is not such a great, is not such a meduyik shear. What's gavok tzas is a great question. It's not 100% clear to me. Some of the examples are a menorah or a ka'ara, but there are different kinds of ka'aras. So it's not 100% clear to me what's gavok tzas. Lemaisa, you know, a little tall. What's a little tall? Tefach. Tefach's pretty tall. Lemaisa, you know, the question, what about a wallet, right? Lemaisa, I'd be machmer to do this.
Really?
That's gavok tzas, but it's not so clear. What am I doing? What? That's the question. By Hilchos Nida, it's a little, you know, maybe it's easier to be machmer as b'chol. It doesn't come up so much, and, you know, everyone intuits the need for a hecker. Lemaisa, you have a thick wallet. Is this gavok tzas? What?
It's certainly not better than a ring of keys.
What?
Keys is tiny. It's
keys are
tiny. Ring of keys.
There are rings of keys and there are rings of keys.
Even a little ring of five keys.
No, it's not.
Not
at
all. Even close to that.
Mapito.
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 It's a huge checker.
Anyway. What?
I said if it's a loss of keys, if you even touch them, it makes tons of noise.
Yeah, but you usually wouldn't touch them. I don't know, wind chime? Anyway, Tzarechi and Lemaisa, you know, if you're, you know, I think, certainly for Bas Mechal, you're not worried about being embarrassed, etc. You know, you want to be on the safe side, Seder. And it's much, you know, on the one hand, who eats Bas Mechal, on the other hand, it's much more Rishash than Hilchas Nida. Hilchas Nida, you don't eat together with your wife because something might happen in a different room of the house. Okay, here, Mamish, it's right there. Right, it's right within arm's reach. Is a real iser. Okay, that depends on that side of the board. Anyway, lemaisa. So at least in, you know, at least if you're comfortable, I'd be machmer that say you need more than an inch.
Is a placemat not a din hecker?
A placemat isn't a din hecker. That's what you said
it
in the beginning.
Doesn't follow these rules.
I mean, because it's not gavok tzas. Yeah, but because
it's
that's
to be
no,
be,
no. So no, the because
that
since it's what you're eating on,
yeah.
And it bounds your space, so it's much more noticeable than a key.
If it's a
different
shofar, it's not all the shofar.
Says you need both.
What?
Clearly, they're different things. The shofar says you need both. Clearly, they're different things.
I mean, the mechaber makes it look like one thing, right? Hecker kagon, right? Shekal. But of course, placemats is only all the achronim, right? If that's not how you usually eat.
Right.
If that's how you usually eat, then what's the heter? Right? So that's the thing. You could make a chakira. Is the heter of placemats because it's like you're not near each other at all? You're like in different planets? Or just a heter? The achronim all assumes the heter of placemats is just a heter, even though they're not tall. Since you're eating on them, they're very noticeable. And it's only if that's not how you normally eat. So if we always eat on placemats, that's not a good heter. Only if we don't always eat on placemats. Right, this used to come up in the kitchen here, by the way. They used to serve food to grus. Now only Torah Shraga eats in the dining room lunch. There used to be three schools eating in the dining room lunch. Grus, Torah Shraga, and Machon Lev. At one point, even the college guys, before that. And they were Israelis, so they had fleishig lunches. And we were Americans, so we had milchik lunches. So they served milk and fleishig in the same dining room at the same time. And the question is, how do you eat, right? Can you eat next to the Machon Lev guys, right, at the same table?
You don't know that.
Right. So, the question is, but everyone, like, put their stuff on a little tray, like, instead of placemat, like, you know, in a cafeteria, you put everything on a tray. So, what about the fact you have different trays? That's not so posh, because you always have different. You have different trays if you're both eating milchik or you're both eating fleishik. So, is the different trays enough? Are the different trays are different colors? Not so posh, because
the fleishik guys always have one tray, and the milchik guys always have one tray, so why wouldn't that be considered?
No, if two guys are eating fleishik, they have different trays, right? Because you always eat on a tray.
One is blue and one is red.
So why? Yes, that's the question. Maybe there one is blue and one is red.
We have placemats, so you have
right.
Fleishik placemats.
So you have different color placemats, so maybe that's enough of the hecker. So lemaisa, the minig of the gross guys was just to be on the safe side. They were machmer, make sure never to get to know any Israelis during the year to avoid any possible chash. They were very machmed. By the time June 15th rolled around, not one gross guy knew one Machon Lev guy. And I'm sure it was only out of desire to be machmed on Basar B'chalav. But, you know, that's an interesting question. Like, what if you have different trays, but you always eat on a tray, so it's not weird. But you have different color trays. So is that enough of a hecker that you have different color trays?
Placemats.
So, or what if I have different color placemats? I have the blue placemat and my wife has the red placemat. You know? So is that good enough? You know, we always eat on placemats, but we don't always have different blue and different red. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. I would still put a hecker. Because I'm used to eating on placemats. Maybe I won't notice the different color. So, all right. Sorry for you. But I would be my friend.
Yeah, just that thing, please. Like, you know, a thing of flowers in another table. But that sometimes is what we do.